from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Hey, gentlemen. A show and Clinton show. I love your show. You guys are great.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley. With the biggest stories of the day, it's the Big Three at three. Number one.
Getting inside the dome, but that's not going to change Alex's mind.
Alex Bregman goes deep to left field and gone. He continues his incredible tear. Bregman hits number 18 on the year, and the Astros jump in front 1-0.
That's a heck of a way to celebrate winning player of the week, is getting off to an electric start by hitting a bomb here in Tampa Bay. Braggy bomb on the board.
Is Braggy being ridiculous?
All right, there it is. Bregman got the scoring started in the first inning, and they continued. It was 6-0 pretty quickly, and Framber Valdez was what Framber Valdez has been here lately. In his last 9 starts, the Astros are 9-0, and he is 7-0 with an ERA at 2.68. So he has been something else. Another 9 strikeouts, which is crazy, fellas. Just think about the strikeout numbers from the starters here of late. And I know Patrick Creighton, you listen to him every night on Area 45, was talking about how many games they had in a row where they had 10-plus strikeouts. They got to be getting close to running another streak, because Framber had 9 last night. Hunter Brown had 9 before that. And then, of course, Spencer Getty has lost his everlasting mind. He had 13 the game before that. So, hell, Tyler, maybe they're on a roll. Maybe you want to start betting these strikeouts again tonight. Tonight is Kikuchi night.
Oh, I'm on them Kikuchi K's for Kikuchi.
I know. You just do it anyway. You said it. You got that out. So
you got it out twice.
I love Kikuchi.
I mean, you had the Kikuchi K's. You're on to something there.
What a night.
K's for Kikuchi. Kikuchi's K Corner at Minute Maid Park. Just call me up, Astros. I got all kinds of ideas.
Keep filling that out. There's something somewhere in there. You got it.
You've heard of Keuchel's Corner, but now I present to you the Kikuchi Corner.
Nobody puts Kikuchi in the corner.
That's good.
You want to take that cup portion off of that so bad.
I love Kikuchi!
What an evening. Absolutely. But big game as they win 6-1. You start to try to take care of teams like this, Clint. And listen, the bats are starting to get there. They went through that stretch where they couldn't score any runs. And then obviously, as we see it, Bregman and Yordan get going. It kind of changes the whole offense. Here's Joe Espada. Joe Espada, the manager, talking about his offense, which is starting to get hot.
162, right? It's a long season, and these players know how to run that marathon. They're trained to run marathons, and they're really good at it. And they all lean on each other. They all believe in one another, and we all know how to turn the page together and pick each other up. And credit to a group of players that they just know how to win.
All right. We see this offense rolling again, and I know people were really, really worried there for a second. Their pitching was always going to hold it together, and now their offense is coming, and it's starting to look dominating altogether. When you're getting pitching and hitting like this, I mean, the way that they're pitching and they're swinging the bats right now, Clint, it's not even bringing the bullpen into play.
Yeah, ridiculous right here. During the 6-game win streak, guys, the Houston Astros, 6.5 runs a game, 322 average, 14 home runs, 942 OPS, 267 ERA, and a 170 opponent average. I mean, the complementary pieces, obviously the starting rotation is absolutely nails, and now they're swinging the bat really, really well. But really, really well and pitching well, that doesn't do it justice. I mean, these guys are absolutely lights out, because I can't I was listening to the In the Loop guys have this conversation about on two different times this morning about the Astros. And Ron, I can't help but the whole time that we're having these conversations, I can't help but think, yeah. And you got a top two bat coming back and a guy that is definitely one of the top two pitchers in a rotation coming. I mean, it ain't going to be long. I mean, at least for Verlander. It ain't going to be long. I mean, that's the crazy part is, I mean, these guys are following up a six-week run between June and July where they were leading the league in runs per game and yada, yada, yada. They were hot and, oh, it was just the schedule's just, it was weak. That was the weak stretch of the schedule. Okay, well, here they are. It's August 13th and we're a quarter of the way or a third of the way through the month and these guys are hotter than they were during that soft stretch of the schedule. So this is big, man. Now we can have the conversation, boys, about the chemistry and the clubhouse, the clubhouse chemistry and the fact that this clubhouse is they have pelts on the wall and they know how to handle 162 and they know how to handle the playoffs and they know how to handle adversity. Now they've positioned themselves atop the division where you can have those conversations again, seriously.
Yep. I want to run something by you here.
What you got?
See how you guys think about this. The lineup is out, okay. And I want to really get to where I want to get to, and that is the fourth spot. Altuve, Bregman, Alvarez, that's the 1-2-3. The DH is Yordan Alvarez. Yiner Diaz is batting fourth, playing first base tonight.
Hey, bartender!
First base tonight. DiZenzo is going to miss his second straight game out of the lineup. And yesterday, he was catching fly balls in left field.
Yeah.
This is interesting.
So it's the rest of the lineup, Pena, Caratini catching, Myers, Dubon, and McCormick is the rest of the lineup. And it feels like...
The tinkering?
There's tinkering with things that...
Don't need to be tinkered with.
Yeah. thank you for saying it. Like I'm not trying to kill the move. I want to give it, but I just, all right. I said, all right, John Singleton went in for a start. I guess you had to have him in. I'm with you to a point where I would just leave DiZenzo in to see what do you do against righties? What do you do against lefties? I don't care as a righty going. And he was playing first base coming off hitting his home run over the weekend. Like, he's been playing well. I thought it was odd that they felt the need to have him go catch fly balls in left field yesterday because, hell, you already got Dubon, McCormick, and Cabbage, and Myers, and
Pedro Leon.
Pedro Leon. Like, you already got, like, we need to throw him out there again. And now Yiner Diaz, it feels like this is the first time. I don't know. Maybe he has played first already this year before, but he's at first base.
I don't remember it if he has.
He's at first base.
I'm with you. Like it seems to the point where they just got to constantly be tinkering with something. And if this was old hat, you know what I mean. If this were Dusty Baker and a general manager that wasn't a new general manager, if you will, then I could probably lean into it. But it's obviously a new manager. That appears to be somewhat of a puppet for the general manager who is overly involved, at least as it pertains to talking to the media, and steps on the toes of the manager. It's just interesting to see, like, when the tinkering gets extreme. Because I'm with you. Like, I don't have a problem with Diaz getting some run at first base. And
yeah,
that,
I've called that, for that when they were having some, when they were running through the Singleton and having guys there that didn't really want to play first base.
Well, and it gives you some flexibility with that DH, which gives you some flexibility with what you do with Yordan. Now he could play less, but there's like it seems like it's extreme. And it, to your point, if it were just like DiCenzo had played four straight games and okay, let's do the Diaz thing while he gets a rest, but instead it's Singleton. It's 2 days off for DiCenzo. It's Diaz playing first. It just seems
And it's not like DiCenzo's been playing like Pedro Leon. I mean, he's been playing pretty well over there.
Yeah.
I don't know. Odd thing. But
I would be interested to hear from them specifically about the tinkering.
I just don't like. I just don't know what.
When
made
does
them,
it ever stop?
When they make up, what made them just say, you know what? Let's get him some balls in left field. I wonder what goes.
Yeah.
Maybe like Dusty. Maybe it came to him like in a dream during the night when they were sleeping.
Yeah. Might have been. I guess. They need another outfield.
God, I've missed.
I don't remember. I don't remember any of these guys tinkering the way they do now. Like, I remember the center field deal being a turnstile, and I remember left field, the outfield situation with.
But it was
with,
just switching Jordan and stuff around. Like,
well, even if you take the Jordan part of it out with Chaz McCormick, you know, formerly known as White Boy Chaz.
Formerly.
Jake Myers, and then Dubon. Like, that whole, remember Verlander center fielder versus that whole deal? Like, it was almost like it was all confined to left and center field. Like, that's the two spots you have. Now it just seems it's catcher, first base, left field, center field, it's and with Tucker yeah. out, right field as well.
And the only other earlier is because Brantley was injured for so long, yeah. so they could, yeah. they had to fool around with. So
anyway, it seems like it's a little bit more extreme right now.
I just had to sit around. Like, I feel like they having too many conversations. Hey, what do you think about Zenzo going to left field? I don't know. He's playing pretty good first base, but why not? Let's give it a
swinging the bat really well, comfortable at first base, man. First year, guy's been up for about four games, man.
I just don't know what made him say, let's move him.
That's really pushing, boys.
Hey, bartender!
Big 3-3, number 2.
All right, Clint, I know you were out there today. Texans, they practice a little bit later today, 11:30. And D'Amico Ryans, he spoke to the media today on the purpose for this. There was a reason behind him deciding to have these guys practice in the dead of the heat at 11:30 today. Here's D'Amico.
Man, today felt like a real training camp day for us with the heat, external elements. As we all know, it's pretty hot and humid here in Houston. It's what we have to deal with, nothing we complain about, just something we got to go to work, right? And so I tell our guys, no matter what it is, for me, it's about adversity. And when it hits you, like, how do you respond? And so a lot of guys, some guys responded well today, some didn't. So it's a lot for us to learn from and build off of.
Was this intentional to put it at this time just to sort of do an acclimation period?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, getting back to it at this time, this is the time we'll be working throughout the season. So I want our guys to understand what it'll feel like, especially, you know, that first half of the season.
All right, so yeah, it was obviously done with purpose, Clint, and I think you were talking about this as well, that, yeah, they're trying to mimic what's going to be ahead of them in the regular season.
Yeah, I mean, this whole week, other than the game being played on Saturday and everything's going to be moved up one day, like, so in other words, today's Tuesday, it'll be like a regular Wednesday in the season. So this week is going to be as game-like as you could possibly get. It's going to be a dry run for a regular season football game. So when the regular season gets here, the veterans and the guys that are actually playing have experienced it before. You're going to have the 11:30 practices, which obviously in Houston are going to be hotter. You're going to have a longer practice on today. This week it's Tuesday and Wednesday, but during the season it'll be Wednesday and Thursday, so it'll be a longer practice. If you're healthy, yes, needs to be on the field getting prep and getting work for that week is exactly what happened. Several guys that have been out, they're back today. They were in the huddle in team drills. They were getting run. They were preparing to play the Giants this week. So yeah, this is a dry run this week in camp. The focus is, hey, this is a real game week, from the way we eat breakfast to the way we meet to the time we practice to what we do after practice to when you're going to lift weights. All of that stuff is a game week this week, and it all started today. And that practice at 11:30 is, all joking aside, there it is a different level of heat at 11:30 significantly, yep, than it is at 9.
And they went till after 1.
Man, I left to get here. I left right around 1 to get here in time. And I think they still had 2 team periods left. So I mean, today was every bit of a 2-hour practice.
Yeah. By the way, to pass this along, Clint, I know this could be a big deal for Saturday's game. But important news, guys who returned to practice, Clint, Kamari Lassiter with the ankle, he returned to practice and he was with the ones today.
Yep.
He was with the ones. Titus Howard with the knee, he returned to practice today. Jack Mason returned to practice as well. Not practicing. Jeff Okuda, he better get there.
He was working out on the side field.
He better get there.
And was working out full speed. It's weird. Like I mean, like
he was going.
getting it.
He said it's a hip. Is the issue?
I mean, he was getting it on the side field. I mean, I'm drenched. He was working so hard.
Yeah.
If that hip's hurt, I didn't see it.
Hell, he probably just walked outside and was drenched. Jeff Okuda with the hip. Noah Brown, shoulder. Tegan Quatoriano, he's still out. Charlie Heck is still out. Christian Harris, an important one, out. Ben Skoranek, he is out as well with Will Anderson, Denico Autry, and Tim Settle as well. So still several guys that, if not are starters, but really, really going to be key contributors still being out. Will Anderson, Christian Harris, those and really and kind of Tim Settle, because he's going to be in that rotation. Those guys really jump.
He's
out.
He's getting into that conversation, right? I mean, Tim Settle's like, hey man, where's Tim been? I mean, this was
we don't like that.
No, D'Amico, we don't. This was one of the signs to feel that middle defensive line,
especially when you know Autry's out.
Yeah, man. Weeks. I mean, that's those guys not being available for this dry run. It's unfortunate. Look, I'm not overly concerned about it, but it's unfortunate that Christian Harris is the one. I think D-line, just generally speaking, whatever system you're in, I think it's easier to kind of be a plug-and-play guy, to miss some practice, and once you're healthy, just be a plug-and-play and go out there and be effective. I think the linebacker with Christian Harris, he needs some work. So I know as we talk about this hamstring and, oh, well, maybe it'll hold him out until such and such date. The reality of it is, man, he needs time to prepare for week one. So it's really not as long as one might think. So we're up against it with Christian Harris.
And for me with Christian Harris, he's probably the one guy that I actually have concern if he's going to make it, any level of concern if he's going to make it to the Colts. Like, if he's going to be able to play.
That's the only guy you have.
To me, on the list, I think Tim Settle will be fine with the calf. Will Anderson, I think he'll get back. Charlie Heck, he may be somebody else. But, I mean, of guys that you really expect to play, Christian Harris is the only one that I look at and I wonder, ooh, is he gonna be all right? Like, you miss all of camp for three-plus weeks, and then you come back and you can't finish. That's the one. All right. This happens often. I was inspired by Tyler Milner. I was inspired by Tyler Milner for this next conversation. We'll discuss that coming up next.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Need to listen up right here. Listen up. Coming up. And listen, I'm not even going to be, sneaky with you. I ain't going to mess with you. Texans Ticket Tuesday, it is back. And we have your one opportunity in the 5 o'clock hour. If you're listening, congratulations to the winners at 7 a.m. on Payne and Pendergast and at noon on In the Loop. You get to have your chance coming up at 5 o'clock right here on Sports Radio 610 on The Drive. And it's not the 5 o'clock hour. It is the 5 o'clock hour, but I'm going to tell you right now, as soon as 5 o'clock fire starts, that will be your first opportunity. Somewhere in that segment. That's right, Larry. Somewhere in that segment, you'll have a chance to win front row seat tickets in the bullpen for Saturday's preseason game against the Giants. And as Clint said earlier, this feels like the game where you potentially may see the starters, the ones, play the most. Because they may use the last preseason game as, all right, let's see everybody else that we need to see. So this one could be the big one. So your chance, like I said, at the first segment, during 5 o'clock fire, you will have a chance to win a pair of those tickets.
Front row, baby.
Front row.
Front row. And if you're going to go to a preseason game, I know a lot of folks have to go to all of them, which I'm here. I'll be there at all of them. But if you're going to go to one, this is the one you want to go to. It's the Giants. Hell, the Texans ought to look good against that dysfunctional mess. And at the end of the day, this is the one where I believe the starters are going to play a good chunk, at least the first half. And so this is the game. This is the one to dial in on, and we got a couple of front row tickets for you.
There you go. 5 o'clock fire. Stay tuned. Set an alarm. Tell some people 5 o'clock. That's your chance to win. I promise you, you will win it in that segment. Have a chance. All right. I was inspired by Tyler yesterday. And I'm
an inspirational guy, you know.
You are. Something's in my back.
Right, right.
Water. You are. I was inspired yesterday, and I'm curious to see where people are. 713-572-4610. Those of you who are trying to stream us on YouTube and Twitch, still working on that, so we appreciate you, your efforts, but you can use the Odyssey app. You can turn on your radio, listen to us right there as well. So please go ahead and do that. But I'm curious. Tyler yesterday, and sometimes Clint, like I got to be able to catch Tyler's eyes. I got to look in his eyes. Because sometimes Tyler just, you know, flippantly says things, and he's not serious. But I'm saying you can look in her eyes. I think we all do that. But I could see Tyler had a serious-ass look in his face. Yesterday, when I asked Tyler, I said, how many games do you think the Texans are going to win the division? Look, how many games do you think the Texans are going to win the division by? And he said, minimum three, but more closer to four or five. Is that right?
Yes!
That's what you said.
Minimum three, more likely they win it by four or five.
So when he said that, I looked in his eyes, and I said, oh, God, he's serious. There's no kidding around.
I mean, not only do you have to be tremendous, the rest of the league has to be awful.
The rest of your division.
King Dingling in there. Yeah, that's what I mean.
The rest of your division. Yeah. I think the Ravens won their division by two games last year. They had the best record. But I'm just curious where everyone is. I don't know if everybody's there in the 3-5 game range. But I'm curious where everyone is because, Clint, I know we'll probably go through at some point right before the season starts to talk about how we see the postseason happen, these divisions happen. I'm not 100% sure that I'm going to pick the Texans to win the division yet. I think right now today they're the best team on paper, but I do think what we've talked about since the schedule came out is a really, really big aspect in this thing.
Hold on, so
like we saw it in the division last year. But I'm curious, where are people and how do you see the South going? Are you in the range of Tyler 3-5 games? How do you see the South going? 713-572-4610. Right now, I'm in the range of the Texans, Jags, and Colts are really tight there when I look at their schedules and the players they have on their team. So
bring on the Jaguars.
I'm still in that range with that. But where are people at right now in terms of how you think this division will go?
I think people are going to answer that question. I think people are going to be all over the map. I think there's going to be folks where I'm at. I got the Texans. I think they win. I think they're the best team in the division. I think they win the division. But I think it is a they got to squeak by just like they did last year. Hopefully not literally just like they did last year, but it's going to take 17 games. It's going to take 18 weeks to figure it all out. I think it's more in line with that. I agree with you. I think it's a three-horse race. I think, you know, all of those teams have the ability to be really, really good. Health is going to play a big part for everybody, obviously, as it does every year in the NFL. But I like the Texans to win this thing. I like the Texans to win 9 or 10 ball games. And be the last team standing in terms of at the top of the division.
So you think 9 or 10 games?
Yeah, but I think to answer your question, I think you're gonna have 9-10 games like I am, and all the way up to where Tyler's at, where he didn't give a number yet, but that's got to be 13-14 wins.
Oh yeah,
if you're gonna win the division by four games, that's got to be 13-14 wins.
Minimum three.
Yeah,
because that's what I'm saying. To give like context, last year the Ravens were 13-4. And then the Browns were 11-6 in their division. They won that by two games. The Texans won it by one game. The Chiefs maybe this is kind of where you're looking. Like the Chiefs won 11 games, but the Raiders, the Raiders and Broncos went 8-9. So they won that by three games. There's the potential there, and then the NFC, like the Niners had the best record there, and they won it by two games. So. Or the Lions. There you go. Lions were 12-5, and the Packers were 9-8.
Bite the kneecap off.
Three games happened twice last year. Someone texted in 13-4. Three games like Tyler. 13-4. Got the Colts winning 10 games. Getting in.
Yeah, you win 13. If you feel like the Texans are a 13-win team, that Tyler, you ain't got no problem getting to winning the division by three. I don't think you're going to have multiple teams in this division win double-digit games.
I think it's Yeah, I don't either. I think it's going to be really tight. I think it's going to be really, really tight. And as I said, if all of the teams played the same level of schedule, I would easily pick the Texans. If they all played the same level of schedule, I think they're the better team, but I still yet to know how the Texans react when they got to play game after game after game.
You're laying down for nobody
against teams that, you know, are hunting them, and playing a schedule like they've had to play in comparison to other teams, to where you have that confidence. Like right now with Baltimore and Cincinnati, like I feel like those teams stay healthy, they're going to probably.
Yeah.
The Chiefs, they stay healthy, they're going to. The Niners, they're going to. So, I don't know. Someone texting offense will be relentless with the amount of weapons, but it is the Texans defense that show, a.k.a. Ron, is underselling. Maybe. It's not even the offense or defense to me. I just think, especially to get to three games, as Clint said, you got to win 12-13.
It's really about the 6-9.
And that is a hard schedule for me to get that many wins out of.
Yeah, you win 12 or 13 games this year, you're a Super Bowl favorite.
I think that is very fair.
After last
year, that is very
with the hype you already have, yeah, that'd be beautiful. I just can't get there yet.
Rock and roll, meow.
What you talking about, Clint? Squeak by?
I just mean it's going to be a tight race. I think it's going to be a tight race, boys. I think everybody in this division is significantly better than they were during the Bill O'Brien days. If you as a whole, it doesn't seem like right. Like I think Callahan has the Titans moving in the right direction. I like Doug Peterson, and they've been inconsistent, but I still think they got them moving in the right direction. And Shane Steichen has Indianapolis moving in the right direction. I mean. This division, I think is well on its way to putting the days of, boy, this is the worst division in football. Well,
I think it's
well
the second. Behind. I think it's the second best division in the conference.
Well, there you go.
The North.
So there you go. You think they're already there? I mean, so like, yeah, I think there was a day when this division was so awful. It was just like, hey, man, Bill O'Brien, winning the division is tough,
nine,
man.
Nine, I don't get it. It felt very NFC South.
Yeah, I think those days are over.
Yeah. All right, coming up, Clint, man, we got to get into this. I know you love a little quarterback play. Listen, we witnessed C.J. Stroud in his class last year's. There were three quarterbacks taken in the top four picks. We witnessed and watched that. But this class may be nasty, Clint, and they almost all of them showed out in their first preseason game. We'll talk about what the quarterback class of this year is going to look like. That's coming up next.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
I just want to let you know, Clint, that wasn't anything against you. I appreciate the offer with the wine. I just trying to do.
T, you ought to see what this guy's doing to me, man.
I'm just trying to do.
You know,
what's going on in there?
Well, look, I mean, I've been really good for the record.
Pat myself
on the back here. I'm a month plus no carbs, no sugar. And when I say this, I mean like candy and sodas and no carbs, like bread and a bunch of rice and all that. I'm not being
carbs and wine, but yeah.
Well, no, that's what I'm talking about. I'm not like counting. Like I'm still I've had a few beers here and there. I still sip on a little Sagamore. I still do a little tequila from time to time. I ain't shying away from my social good times. You know what I mean? I still sip some wine in the evenings with my bride, and every now and then I get a little sweet tooth. Very rare. It's going away, but I get a little sweet tooth, and for some reason. A good Pinot Noir.
You really do get that red wine. It
cures my sweet tooth. It quenches my sweet tooth. And I just so happened to have a little bottle of wine up here that I had up here this weekend. And I saw it in the fridge and I thought, hey, man, Ron, get a little pop of this with me. He turned me down not once.
It did, man.
But he turned me down twice.
I just I I I
I'm not sitting around here and just get absolutely blitzed, Tyler. I'm just talking about, hey, man, have a little sip of some vino with you, boy, man. Cure the old sweet tooth. And he says, nah, man, I'm trying to be good.
Listen,
nah,
I was inspired by Bobby Slowick. I'm just trying to stack some days together, man. Just trying to stack.
I just hit that. You're all right. But
had a good day with the nutrition yesterday, trying to stack these days together. That's it, man. That's it.
The showman.
A pretty good day.
Oh, and you think just a little splash of grape? You think a little splash of grape's gonna ruin your day, huh?
And I apologize to you, man. I know you offered.
I'll see pictures of you and Tyler Blitz on Thursday night somewhere.
That's not true. Thursday,
podcast night.
No, man. I could see the look in his eye, Tyler. I couldn't tell because I could tell if Clint was about to go to. No, I'm going to fight this. You're going to drink this.
No, I don't force it on nobody.
I thought, like, Clint hung in there like, come on, man, you really turning this down? Like, you really ain't going to, like, you, that's what he said. That's what he said to us. Man, you really ain't going to drink it.
Ron, the mother freaking show Ugly.
You're not going to drink
that guy
a bit
right
of my,
there.
You drink a little bit.
No, I'm never going to force myself on people. I'm not going to force people to be my friend. I just, we've been friends for a long time. At least I think we have, and you've never turned me down.
Yeah, text line, Ron's wife probably won't let him drink. No, man, me and my wife respect each other, so we don't have those kind of rules. I don't know what you and your wife have.
That was strong. Aggressive.
Sorry. I'm not sorry. I feel good after saying that.
I mean, that was just kind of a text friend, a friendly texter just kind of throwing barbs at you a little bit, and you got personal.
I threw one at it.
But you couldn't. You couldn't eat, man. That's all right.
I just don't know what kind
it's
of
all right, man. It
is.
I mean,
yeah, we don't have rules in place.
Look, if Courtney said you can't understand.
All right, Clint, man, listen, C.J. Stroud, and you've said it, you've been on record to say you've never seen more impressive rookie performance through the whole year from the quarterback position from what C.J. Stroud did last year. But this year, Clint, in terms of the start of what we're seeing, damn near every last one of these cats kind of looked good, kind of showed out. Caleb Williams, who is obviously the head of the class, he made a throw to his tight end on the run that was insane. He looked good, showed some awareness. I mean, even the guys at the bottom, people lost. Now, it's unfortunate J.J. McCarthy is going to be injured and torn a meniscus, but he looked really good. Almost 200 yards and 2 touchdowns and a pick and ran the ball. And then Bo Nix looked good under Sean Payton. And Michael Penix Jr., everybody was tripping about, he looked good for the Falcons. Clint, this potentially is an impressive group of young quarterbacks coming into the league, Clint. There's a lot of these guys I like. It looks more and more like we're seeing guys closer to CJ than we're seeing guys closer to where Bryce Young was.
Yeah, this is interesting. I like the way you couched it, right? But as we compare it to CJ, Caleb Williams plays too much off schedule, off script, off platform. I don't see him being able to play his style of ball and matching what C.J. Stroud did last year.
His success would look different.
It would look different, and there's a lot more risk associated with it. It would be a lot more highlight reel type stuff, I think, if it were to happen. I don't think it happens. I think he has a good year because the supporting cast is tremendous in Chicago, but I don't think he can match C.J. or even come close, to be honest with you. Drake May has no chance. Daniels at Washington. This one has a chance. Again, he moves with the football, but a little bit more of his legwork is done by design. Hell, I watched him. They had a quarterback run, a read play. He ran for a touchdown this past weekend. And it just, he's got a chance because I think his run game is a little bit more controlled, and I think he can stay healthy. It's Daniels. Penix Jr. won't get the run necessary. J.J. McCarthy's fixing to have surgery. His knee's jacked up. So I think it's Daniels and Bo Nix, man.
Bo Nix, huh?
It's easy to say it right now because he was 15 of 21 for 125 yards in Sean Payton's offense. I don't believe he started. I think he got some run in the second, late in the first, maybe second. Nonetheless, there's just something about Bo Nix and Sean Payton. I know Sean from back in the day. Don't know him now, but I know him from back in the day. I love Sean. I think he's a great offensive mind. Bo Nix is a guy that I just didn't want to give no love to. When he was at Auburn, didn't give no love to him, didn't like his game, didn't think he was good enough to win the way he was playing, because he's a guy that, again, you're talking about after a game, it's hard to get the grass stains out of his uniform now. I mean, he plays wild.
He was impressive last year.
But then he got to Oregon, and he won on a big stage, soaked up that offense. He was the reason that they won on that big stage. So there's no more denying Bo Nix. I've got to give credit where credit's due. It's Daniels and Bo Nix, for me, are the two that could potentially have really, really, really good rookie seasons and turn organizations around the way CJ should.
If Atlanta wasn't afraid to pull the trigger.
Come on, man. They can't afford to, but boy, if they weren't, I'm here for it.
I'm not 100% out to think that they are. Like, I'm not, like, listen, it's different than what Pete Carroll did with Matt Flynn. A lot different. I think they gave Matt Flynn maybe $20 million. I think he got 180. He looked really impressive.
Well,
in his first
it would
game.
Take Kirk Cousins struggling for it to happen. I guess that's more where
there's
I'm at.
There is no way they could come out of camp, even if Michael plays better, that they would go with Michael Penix Jr.
Yeah, no, I don't think it's a fair competition. I don't at all. And Kirk hopes it's not.
So Daniels and him. No, it's.
I got Daniels and Nix as the potential guys that could have big seasons as rookies.
Yeah, Caleb is still. The talent is so crazy to go along with the talent around him.
Yeah,
that's the part. Like,
yeah,
like his game can be with a lot more risk, but I wonder how much risk is helped with the players around him.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. And I don't know how great the coaching is either. Like, and I know this guy's the one who coached up Geno Smith. In Seattle has done some things. Like if he's got Bobby Slowick in him, that type of coaching, like there's something there too.
Yeah, look, I think Chicago can win a lot of games. Don't get me wrong. I think so. I guess Caleb Williams, just from a winning perspective, I think they can win some games. I think they could arrive, but just the way Caleb Williams plays, I don't think it's going to be tried and true week in, week out. You know what you can depend on. I think you're going to get a highlight reel, win, lose, or draw. I think you could potentially get a highlight reel out of him. But what CJ did last year and what was so impressive with CJ is just you could take it to the bank every Sunday. You were going to get a guy that was going to deliver the football on time, on schedule, accurate. If there was an opportunity for run after catch, it was going to be there for the wide receiver. He wasn't going to turn the football. It was just such a convincing brand of what I think is the way to win football games in the NFL. It was just so convincing, and he was so committed to it. It's hard for me to think that anybody can duplicate it, man.
Yeah. Not especially the way that he played. Hell, you said the only person that you felt was as impressive in what he did was Tom Brady.
I'm telling you, man.
It would look different. But I wonder if a Caleb Williams can look like second half Jordan Love. Can he kind of morph that with a little bit more talent around him than what Jordan Love had? But all these guys look like they're in really good situations. I don't know if that was as much the case last year with all the guys, but they look like they're in good situation. And the way that Sean is using Bo Nix, you can kind of see that there as well. So should be interesting. As these young quarterbacks get going. All right, what you got coming up at the four?
Stand up, Stafford. Your boy Jalen Petrie he's got me good and worked up today, man. Practice. He appeared to have a good one, and I've got LaJulia Morales baseball boner audio that is absolutely, absolutely beautiful, Astros Nation. You're going to want to hear this. We're going to do all that next right here on Sports Radio 610.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. and thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at MyBob's.com to play now.